What does it take to successfully launch and grow a new e-commerce business? Managing scarce time and money resources is key.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. Great to have you here. In today's episode, we're getting into the world of startups with a business that's been operating for the last 12 months, not as a side hustle, but our guest has been all in. He quit his job, started his business 12 months ago, and he's going to tell us all about how he's gone about managing that business and successfully growing that business over the last year. Lots of lessons in this one, both for those of you who are thinking of starting, who've just started, or like me, have been around for decades. Before we get into all that, though, please do check out the sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform for brands of all kinds and sizes. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out or you're part of a marketing team at a multinational brand, Klaviyo will give you everything you need to create memorable marketing moments, building customer relationships that keep shoppers coming back time and time again. Get started with a free account today. Visit klaviyo.com/masterplan. That's klaviyo.com/masterplan. This episode is sponsored by Brightpearl, the retail operating system that helps multi-channel commerce brands grow fearlessly. Did you know, according to research by Brightpearl, 4 in 10 consumers will use non-traditional shopping platforms to do their holiday shopping this year? Platforms like Alexa, WhatsApp, or Pinterest. Are you all set to cash in on this latest shift in shopping habits? No? Then join Brightpearl's free webinar, hosted by me, that will ensure you don't miss out. Get your free ticket at brightpearl.com/masterplan now. And now to introduce today's special guest. Martin Thornalley is the founder of Red Rock Games, a retailer of board and card games founded in October 2020. Nearly 12 months in, they are anticipating sales of £180,000 in this first year. Hello, Martin.
Hello, Chloe.
It's great to have you here. Thanks for applying to be on the show.
I feel honoured to be on the podcast.
Well, I always love having a listener on because you know the score, you know what the audience are looking for, and it's great to be able to share the stories of the people who are kind of in our tribe, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Martin, let's go back to October 2020. What on earth led you to decide to start an e-commerce store?
Very good question. And I do ask myself that question, not quite so regularly now, but it was really a case of getting to a point in my career that I'd had to date where I wasn't really enjoying it anymore. I did need a new challenge. And the idea to do my own e-commerce business was really just born from a casual conversation with my partner. We love playing board games and card games, and it was really, is there any way I can combine that with making a living and really being my own boss as well? So yeah, that's where the idea came from, and here we are.
I'm guessing it's been going pretty well, given you've achieved almost £200,000 of sales in year one, which I think is something a lot of our listeners would be quite envious of.
Yeah, we did have a forecast, a sales forecast that we produced before we started trading. It was necessary in order to secure a government loan, a startup business loan from the government, and that forecast was 160,000, but it was really a figure I really plucked out of the air. I mean, I had no idea. It was more of an aspiration than really based on anything else. But obviously, based on that, we were able to work out what sales we would need and what sort of volume of sales we would actually have to generate that revenue, and it all seemed plausible based on not very much. But yeah, we kept track of it and we've exceeded that forecast. So we're certainly very happy, but it wasn't really based on any science, I wouldn't say.
No, I often think with, you know, with a startup forecast, whether it's, you know, for an amazing, huge VC-backed SaaS operation, or whether it's, you know, for a small e-commerce business starting off, so much of it is finger in the air, but at least it leads you to have to think through how viable is this idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the really, really useful about the whole application process for the startup loan was that they, that was the point of it really, was you, for you to sort of think through everything as well as you could, put some figures down in spreadsheets really, and produce essentially a business plan based on quite a number of assumptions, which really what we needed to do was then test as and get some answers to as soon as possible. So it really was very much an experiment in the early sort of, it still is early, but in those first few weeks slash months, try and understand whether is this going to be a viable business. And yeah, we're now almost into the year. It's looking certainly on track as to where we wanted it to be. We've still got a lot of growth to go, I think, before we can really say it's going to be a success. But yeah, very happy with things so far.
Yeah, I think I'd be very happy with that too. Let's paint the picture of how the business is at the moment, and then we'll go into a bit more of the lessons and things you've learned over this first year. So where in the world are you, and where are you selling to?
Yeah, sure. So we are based in the town of Dawlish in Devon in the United Kingdom. So we are only selling currently to the UK, and we do get inquiries from other European countries at least, but we are currently only selling to the UK. I mean, that's a decision that we made early on. It's not certainly a long-term goal only to sell to the UK, but at the moment, with the complexities of Brexit and various tax complications of selling abroad, and certainly horror stories that I'm seeing in various forums, I think it's been a sensible decision to start with the UK, see how things go, and then look to expand at a later date. With the particular products that we sell and the distributors that we use, we're unlikely to be able to sell outside Europe, certainly not to the US. There are restrictions in place with the contracts that we have, but certainly Europe is definitely a viable option.
Nice. I like that. We'll focus on the home country, and just one, because there's probably enough growth there for the first few years, but two, even in normal times, there's a lot of complexity goes with selling overseas. And when you add in a pandemic and Brexit and other things, like, yeah, just keep things simple for year
yeah.
one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm fairly sure we will need to expand beyond the borders of the UK to sort of sustain the growth that we want. But at this stage, the UK gives us enough to keep us busy. So we'll continue with that for now.
I said in the intro that you are selling board and card games, but that covers a multitude of sins. So tell us a bit about your product set.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, board and card games is the sort of very generic description of the games, but it includes other things such as role-playing games. And even board and card games is a very generic term. I mean, there's lots of games that you would find hard to categorize as a board game because there's no board. It might not even be cards. It might just be a bit of paper and some dice. But basically, they're all physical games. Sometimes they are supported with an app on a phone or on your computer, which can certainly enhance the experience, but they're all going to involve some sort of physical components. They are often multiplayer, but there are certainly a good proportion of the games that we have that enable solo play. But I mean, I think at the heart of the sort of the hobby, it's the social side. It's getting together with friends or family and playing these games together. So yeah, it's a whole range of physical type games.
And these are all products that you're buying from someone else wholesale and then selling on to a consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not really intending in the near future to do any game development of our own. It's purely a case of looking at what's popular at the moment, finding the distributor for that particular game or distributors for that particular game, and then yeah, acquiring them and selling them. It is that simple, really.
Cool. And what platform have you chosen to sell on? Are you Shopify, Magento, or something else?
Yeah, so something else. So we sell via our own website, which is implemented on WordPress and WooCommerce. Obviously, that's an open source product. There are costs clearly with the sort of the extra functionality that you're likely to need through plugins, but at its core is a free open source software platform. And we also sell on the Amazon and eBay UK marketplaces, which has proved quite successful.
So a couple of things that immediately spin out of there for me. So the decision to go with the WordPress WooCommerce option, you have a background in IT. So were you familiar, is WordPress something you were already familiar with?
To some extent, I have used WordPress in the past for blogging as an IT professional. However, I never really got into blogging, so I didn't get a huge amount of experience with WordPress. But it wasn't completely alien. WooCommerce itself, as an e-commerce plugin for WordPress, was completely new to me. So I did need to spend a number of weeks familiarizing myself with that as a tool. But yeah, I mean the IT side of it, obviously. I mean, I've had a career in IT since the mid-90s, so it's something I know. I'm confident I can learn new IT. So that was, one of the reasons for choosing WooCommerce. Another was that I did a bit of research early in, as I was sort of forming my ideas to start the business, and looked at what some of my competitors were using. My main competitor in the UK was using WooCommerce, so that gave me some confidence in the in the product. And there's a number of others as well, but certainly there are others that use Shopify, and others that use technology that I wouldn't even know what it was, but some of it's certainly aging as well as an e-commerce platform. But there's certainly good examples of direct competitors that are using WooCommerce, so I was confident.
Nice. And many people who start an e-commerce business dip their toe in the water by keeping their job and doing it on the side, on the weekends and the evenings. But you went all in from day one. So obviously you went through a lot of planning to make that, a viable option. You knew what you were getting yourself into. But what made you decide to do it all in from day one?
Yeah, so I mean, I know personally I work better if I can focus on one thing. I think trying to split my time across running this business as a kind of side project, really, and then continuing to work in some form of either part-time or even full-time employment, I just didn't feel was going to be viable for me personally. I mean, we had, say, some finance that available to us from some previous employment through sort of contracting that I had done. So there was some funds available to invest in the business, and we just included that in the business plan. But yeah, I just looking at the figures, it wasn't really going to be generating very much revenue if I couldn't really put the time into to making it a full-time operation.
I like that. I do better at things if I focus on one thing. I'm very similar to you in that respect, Martin. So I totally get why. Let's properly sense check it, properly put the backing in place, and then go into it. And I suspect that's one of the key reasons you've hit the numbers you've hit in the first year.
Yeah, I suspect that's true. And I think the other thing that I had, I think, was a bit of a safety net. I mean, I sort of, if after 6 months it really wasn't going anywhere, I could have easily sort of just stopped and gone back to the career that I had previously. There's demand for my skills at the moment, so it really wouldn't have been very difficult to get back in and be back into full-time employment. So I didn't really feel like I was taking much of a risk either.
So on kind of day one, or those first few months, I suppose, or even now actually, when you're sitting there and you're going, right, all these different things I could be doing with an e-commerce business, because e-commerce, like any business, there is a never-ending list of things you could be doing, but success comes from deciding what you should do. So how did you go about working out where to spend your time? Because, especially in an early stage business, that is going to determine your growth path, even more than where you choose to spend the limited funds you've got on offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So time is the most constrained resource, I think, that we have. I mean, obviously, I could look at spending some of the sort of capital that we have on additional resources. But at the moment, I think it's a case of trying to limit the expenses that we have as much as possible. So that then means, yeah, that my time is the most important commodity. Prioritizing is not an easy thing to do, but the one thing that we're trying to do at the moment is try and grow the product range that we have as much as possible so that we can offer our customers some of the latest games, but also some of the classics that are available, and really just try and make us a shop that's worth visiting, because you're likely to find something that you're going to want to buy rather than just having a very narrow product set. So focusing on growing the product range has been really sort of the number one priority. I think there is a correlation between the product range that we have and the sales. I think we've got the figures to back that up. As we grow the number of products that we have, we'd simply get more sales. So that's really where the focus has been. I mean, what happens then as a result of that, as many sort of startups, you start your business at home, which is what we did. We removed the contents of the garage and tried to locate those somewhere else. We rapidly filled the garage, and then we spilled out into the kids' bedrooms and then the lounge, and got to a point really where we'd outgrown home. So we relatively recently moved into some dedicated premises to operate the business from, which is fantastic. Now we've got the space to grow the product range even further, and that's now the priority, is to sort of how to maximize the use of that space as quickly as possible to sustain the growth that we want.
I love that you've identified one of the kind of the key levers for growth early on as being the wider our product range, the more we sell. Because I can see it being a business where you start with, right, let's get the best sellers in so people find us and start buying. And then they start coming back to you because they're going, right, we've exhausted this game. We need some new inspiration. I've got friends coming to stay next week. We could do with a new game to play. And they're coming back to you to revisit a classic, like you say, or to find something new they haven't previously experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. And many of the games also have expansions to sort of add additional sort of gameplay features and things like that. So there's always a reason to come back. But obviously, we need to hold that stock in order to be able to provide those options for those customers. So there's a range of products. I mean, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of games out there. I mean, we have a tiny fraction of what's available. I think sort of one of the main competitors that I have sort of probably has a product range of in excess of 20, maybe even 30,000 different different products. We're sort of approaching 800, I think. So we've got some way to go, and I don't think we'd ever get to that sort of size. But there is a lot of products out there. I mean, and the other thing you've got to be careful about is obviously not stocking lots of games that don't sell, or you sell one of or two of a year or something like that. So it is a balance. Fortunately, I've got some good contacts that can provide advice. They are very strongly into the hobby, keeping their sort of finger on the pulse of what's coming up, what's popular, and they feed back to me as to what they think I should stock, which is a great help.
Oh, great. Your own little customer focus group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Everyone needs one of those. So it's clear that you've been making, you know, being really careful about where you've chosen to invest the cash. So is there anything you've yet outsourced on the manpower front, or are you doing everything from buying and merchandising and running the website through to picking and packing and organizing the marketing?
So I personally don't do everything. So my partner, Donna, although is constantly telling me it's my business, she is integral to the business. She has a background in finance and bookkeeping, so anything to do with the bookkeeping is her domain, which is fantastic, because it's would be one of my least favorite jobs. Unfortunately, I had to do any of that. But equally, she is involved in picking and packing as well, and to some extent the social side of things as well. So it's definitely a team effort. she's not full time on Red Rock Games. I am. Well, she probably is full time if you count up the hours that she does, but she has some other other employment as well. So it's the two of us really primarily. We then get the family involved as well. So we have children
an amazing source of free labor.
Yeah, absolutely. Labor. Yeah, certainly cheap labor. They're going to be doing it for free. and also friends of theirs, which has been great. But yes, we have outsourced some particular skills. So in particular, my design skills are very poor, and I always quote this: I came last in art at school in one particular exam. So I don't want to go anywhere near any of the design side of it. So quite early on, I outsourced some of the design work to a freelancer that I found through Upwork. I also have outsourced, initially started doing a lot of the digital marketing myself, particularly the Google Shopping ads, but I was never convinced I was doing that as well as I could be. So I have decided at this stage at least to outsource the digital marketing to an agency. So we have that being done by them. And recently I have brought somebody on to start doing our emails and newsletters and some blog posts, because I couldn't find the time to do that. And it's not necessarily something I particularly enjoy doing. And again, it's another hobbyist that really enjoys playing the games, as almost sort of doesn't have to do the research, because it's something he does in his spare time anyway. So that's really, really great. And also, finally, we've just got somebody on board to do some very specific bits of the IT, actually, because I'm finding it harder to find the time to do the IT. So I've got some very specific sort of tasks that I've, again, found somebody through Fiverr this time to come and do that for us.
I like that. Identifying, you know, the fact you've gone, right, I'm not giving this the attention it needs anymore. Let's find someone who's going to do it better. Or I don't really like doing that. Let's find someone who will like doing that. It's not just about where you should be spending your time. It's also about where you enjoy spending your time.
Absolutely. I mean, one big part of the decision to do this was a lifestyle choice. I mean, it's something I want to do, and I don't want to be choosing to do something that I don't enjoy. So, yeah, that's the idea, is find the things that I want to do.
Which is a great move for any business owner. Find the things you want to do. So Martin, what's the thing over the last year you're most glad that you've done?
I think it's sort of make the decision to continue to grow the business. I mean, it was always a bit of a punt to start with, and just to see how it goes. Can I make a go of this? But yeah, the decision where we sort of decided that, well, we can't carry on doing it. It's not going to be big enough if we run it from home. Are we going to make a proper go of this? So making that decision, finding a premises locally where we can grow into. And obviously with that, we've got a commitment now from the point of view of a lease. So we've got 3 years worth of lease time that we've committed to. So yeah, we are going to be here now for the next 3 years. So it's that decision, really.
And what's the thing you wish you didn't do if you had the year over again?
I don't know whether I have an answer to that question. I'm still a little bit unsure about whether the digital marketing agency is the right decision. I needed to try it, and it's not a cheap thing to do. I'm not convinced I'm getting the value at the moment, and certainly looking at the figures, because we've got quite small profit margins, it is quite hard to justify it, although it is our main source of traffic, Google Shopping, so we need to be there, but I'm not convinced it's worth the money at the moment. So that one's probably on the to be decided. it's not the worst decision yet, but it's certainly a candidate, I would say.
It does often take a few goes to find the right agency and the right timing for an agency as well, because especially if it's the Google Shopping side of things, if you were to double your product range, because that directly feeds the number of ads you can run, then that could make a big step change. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one develops.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not something I had any experience of. I don't think I wasn't seeing the results that I wanted. So I've given the chance for this ad agency to show me that they can do this. So we'll wait and see.
I'll keep my fingers crossed it goes well for you. And is there just a one piece of advice you give anyone who is, maybe they're in their first couple of months of going all in on their project, any advice you'd give them to go forwards?
Probably the one thing that surprised me, and I'm not sure everyone would do this, it certainly wasn't really in our original business plan, although we probably intended to do it, but it certainly didn't figure in the figures, and that is really sort of make use of the marketplaces, eBay and Amazon. I mean, we are probably getting 50% of our revenue. We are getting 50% of our revenue currently through the marketplaces. Now, they're not as profitable because of the extra fees, but clearly they you're not paying really. You don't certainly don't have to pay for advertising on top of that. So I think that's a big surprise for us, and it may not be the thing that people choose to do, although I guess some businesses might start out that way. I mean, one limitation that we had in our particular industry is that our main distributor, which we probably buy at least 60 to 70% of our stock from, stipulated that we couldn't sell on eBay and Amazon unless we had the products available on our own website. So we had no choice but to sell on our own website as well as going for the marketplaces. But I think look at the marketplaces. If you've just gone for WooCommerce or Shopify or whatever, look at the marketplaces and think about how what additional sales you might get through selling on those.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Success in 2021 means building stronger relationships with your customers. Last year saw a lot of consumers switching to buy online, leading to surges in new customer acquisition. So how are you planning on turning your new first-time buyers into profitable repeat customers? Well, that's what Klaviyo is for. Klaviyo helps businesses create memorable marketing moments through email, SMS, and personalized website experiences. And that is what creates repeat purchases. That's why Klaviyo, the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform, is used by over 50,000 e-commerce brands around the world. Get started with your free account today. Visit klaviyo.com/masterplan. That's klaviyo.com/masterplan. This episode is sponsored by Brightpearl, the retail operating system that helps multi-channel commerce brands grow fearlessly. Research shows that consumers plan to do their holiday shopping on TikTok, Pinterest, and Alexa. To help you capitalize on this opportunity, Brightpearl are hosting a free webinar packed with brand new insight and real-world advice from high-growth commerce brands on what you can do now to make sure you maximize your potential this peak season. Reserve your free spot today at brightpearl.com/masterplan.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Martin, are you ready for the top tips?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So I'm not a big reader, I'll admit that to start with. I find it hard to prioritize the time to pick up a book, if I'm honest. One thing I did find myself doing quite a bit of a little while ago when I was doing a lot of driving for work was listening to audiobooks. And one particular book really did strike a chord with me, and that was a biography of Elon Musk by Ashley Vance, Tesla, SpaceX, and the quest for a fantastic future. And really, there wasn't any particular sort of top tips in there. It was just really inspirational. I mean, obviously, Elon Musk is quite a character and probably a bit Marmite. You either like him or you don't. But there's no denying that he has achieved a huge amount, and that's, I think, primarily down to his own self drive, really. So I think just listening to that story really of where he's got to and how he's got there and what it is that makes him the person he is.
Excellent. Okay, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Yeah, so I think I've mentioned this already, but I mean, our main traffic source is Google Shopping Ads. It's by far the easiest way to get your products out there in Google. I think shopping ads are just sort of going from strength to strength anyway. It's people want to be able to see what's the best price they can get a product for, essentially. So we put most of our marketing spend into Google Shopping Ads. It's easy to set up, especially with WooCommerce and the plugins that are available. So that really wasn't very difficult, and I was able to do that myself without any sort of input from any third parties, just following the instructions. So Google Shopping Ads.
Nice. Yeah, I'm always a fan of people working with Google Shopping. Okay, the tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
There is. So there's a tool called Adobe Spark. It's a very lightweight graphic design tool. Includes collaboration features. So my designer that I sort of outsource that design work to is able to sort of produce me some very sort of easy reusable templates for social graphics, essentially. And then I can sort of take those and tweak them when needed. So yeah, it's a great little tool. It's has a small subscription, but it's not very much, and does enable us to collaborate together and generate the graphics that I need.
Excellent. And then the growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
I've actually mentioned it already, and it's probably not going to come as a surprise, but it's selling the marketplaces. I mean, for us, the products that we have, there are clearly customers for these types of products on the marketplaces. It's, again, easy to get the products up there. One of the key things in order to sort of make this work is when you're selling across multiple channels is having some way of synchronizing your inventory so that you don't oversell on one particular channel. So we use a tool called Channel Grabber to do that. It offers sort of a centralized point for order management as well. But if you can sort of warrant the spend on a tool like that, then getting your products into these additional channels, like I said, we get probably 50% of our revenue at the moment through simply eBay and Amazon UK. So consider the marketplaces.
Excellent advice. Martin, thank you so much for coming on the show. Can you please let everyone know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Yeah, sure. So you can find us on the web at www.redrockgames.co.uk. We also have a Facebook business page at Red Rock Games UK. And we're also on Instagram at redrockgames_UK.
Excellent. Well, Martin, as I said, thank you so much for being on. It's been fascinating learning how you've created such a success in just 12 months. So thank you very much for coming on and sharing so much.
Thank you very much, Chloe. Great to have been on the podcast.
A fascinating run through of the decisions that go into running the first year of an e-commerce operation, and lots of different angles that Martin got into there. I hadn't anticipated how much marketplaces have done for the business, which in retrospect I probably should have done, but I thought that was a really interesting angle, that they've been a really important source of upping that turnover. The angle of getting the product right is clearly a big one in that mix too. So I hope you've learned a few things in there, whether you're new or whether you've been in this e-commerce game for a while. I think there are plenty of stuff that Martin shared that we can all learn from. You can get your hands on our notes from today's show, including the top tips and links to the various things we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. If you there go to our all episodes tab, then you will be able to find this episode and find all those details. When you're there, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. If you are intrigued about that marketplaces angle, then on our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we recently did a whole month on should you or shouldn't you also list your product on marketplaces, including some tips on doing it well as well. So if you search for Keep Optimizing on Google or on your podcast player of choice, you'll find us, and there you'll find our Marketplaces Month of 4 episodes all about how to, should you or shouldn't you be on marketplaces, and how to make marketplaces work for you. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners to succeed and thrive with their businesses. So if you know someone this show can help, please do tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.